More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Today on More to Life, God help me, these kids are driving me crazy. Are parenting struggles getting you down? We're going to help you find answers and peace. Give us a call, 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And today on More to Life, our show is titled, God Help Me, These Kids Are Driving Me Crazy, as we talk about parenting kids of all ages, whether your kids are 2 months, 2 years, 22 years, 202 years, doesn't matter. The reality is we are a parent forever in the order of Melchizedek. And
play on scriptural words there.
And kids can always get on our nerves, no matter how much we love them. Our relationships with our children can be fraught in lots of different ways.
And we get on their nerves, which makes them get on our nerves even more.
There you go. So we want to help you deal with those situations that are frustrating you with your kids more effectively. Let us help you find the solutions that will help you be both a more effective and more peaceful parent. The number to call is 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
And of course, that includes if you are living in that parental space, because there are an awful lot of grandparents and aunts and uncles who are doing a lot of parenting these days, because we all need help and life is crazier than ever. So if you're saying, you know, and I'm not the parent, but my grandchild is doing this when I take care of them, or driving their own parents crazy and I don't know how to help, wherever you are, if you have a child in your life and you're saying, I want to feel like I love and adore them all the time. I want to be that perfect parent or parent figure in their lives, but I'm falling short because I don't know how to handle this behavior or that attitude or this thing we're dealing with nowadays. We're here to help you find grace and really good skills to make that situation better for you. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
You know, as parents, we are often looking for the techniques or the tools we can use on our kids to get them to behave. We tend to think of parenting as something we do to kids.
Right.
But the most important technique, actually, and I'm going to share a study here I think illustrates the importance of this. The most important parenting technique we can learn is what's called self-regulation, the ability to watch our temper and our tendencies to react to our kids when they misbehave. There was a study in the journal Developmental Psychology, which I know you all read religiously, that looked at what's called the parent stress cycle.
Okay, so we might not have read it, but we can definitely identify with that term, because most of us go, oh yeah, that thing I'm living in.
Yeah, and so what they talked about was this tendency when kids misbehave or behave in frustrating ways and parents just allow themselves to get stressed by those emotional reactions or behaviors, that actually feeds the kids' stress more, which then makes them misbehave even more. Kids are barometers. They absorb the pressure in the home. And when they are struggling and misbehaving and sort of, you know, venting or whatever, and if we let that push our buttons, our stress tends to stress them more, which then creates even more misbehavior. And what the study found was that for some parents, that actually results in a complete breakdown in the relationship where the child gets labeled unmanageable and then allows that parent to kind of justify withdrawing from the kid because I can't do anything about them. That just results in even worse behavior because the kid is left to figure out even more for him or herself. And that creates a cycle where the child's behavior reinforces the label, which reinforces the parental withdrawal, which reinforces the bad behavior. How do you stop that stress cycle? The key, really the parent holds the key. We as parents need to learn to stop reacting in the face of misbehavior and learn to respond gently and proactively. Here's a quick tip for that. And I think that it's a sort of a game changer for a lot of folks. We have a tendency to think, my kid is misbehaving, right? A better way to think about it is, my child is struggling. So it's not that my kid is misbehaving, it's my kid is struggling. What are they struggling with? How can I help? If you look at those questions and answer those questions, you're going to be able to have the empathy to respond lovingly and effectively to whatever your kid is doing. But it takes stepping back and bringing that to God. We'll talk more about that in a second.
Well, and I think that, you know, for a lot of us, you just laid down a big giant mountain and said, this is the problem, and you've got to start learning how to be receptive, and you have to start learning how to deal with your own emotional temperature. And that's really, really hard, because we as grown-ups are going through more than I think we ever have in our whole long time since maybe the World Wars, and we're just trying to figure life out. So we're all kind of running around with an elevated emotional temperature anyway, trying to make it all work. And then how do you do this and be receptive and be more self-controlled when you've got kids running around from the beginning throughout? You know, no matter how old your kids are, they have a tendency to know how to push your buttons because they're always looking for your reassurance, and you're saying, who's going to reassure me? And so it becomes sort of a cycle of, I don't know how to do this. We're here to give you some tips today on how to do it for your particular situation, your age, children, and whatever it is that's pushing your buttons.
And the number, of course, is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. I will say most of the advice we're giving you today on the program is taken from the two new books that just came out. They are the third editions of Parenting with Grace. We've got Parenting Your Kids with Grace, which covers birth to 10, and Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace, which covers 11 to 18. And in that book, in addition to great tips and techniques for getting a handle on your kids' behavior and helping to raise truly good, healthy, godly kids, we have an entire section in the book on how we as parents can use our parenting relationship to heal some of those old wounds, to develop those skills that we're talking about for self-regulation and being more peaceful as a parent. You know, so it's not all about just doing for your kids. It's about how to allow God to minister to your heart through that role of parenting. We have an entire section in the book that I think is going to be life-changing for a lot of parents. And again, those two books, Parenting Your Kids with Grace, which is birth to 10, and Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace, that's 11 to 18. You can pick up both of those at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. But we are talking with you right now. You don't even have to wait. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Our title today is God Help Me, These Kids Are Driving Me Crazy, as we talk about how to deal gracefully when our kids are causing us to feel frustrated and fed up. Let's bring our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll take your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we thank you for the gift of children, even when they sometimes don't feel like a gift. We ask you, Lord, for the grace, the wisdom, the patience, and the compassion that you show to us, your children. Help us to be your face to our kids. Help us to see that they are not misbehaving, they are struggling. And help us to identify those struggles and respond to those struggles in compassionate but effective ways, so that even in our discipline, we can draw closer to our children and see those times of correction as an opportunity to strengthen the relationship as they see us as their mentors, and us seeing them
as our disciples. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, we're talking about parenting on our show titled, God Help Me, These Kids Are Driving Me Crazy. If parenting struggles are getting you down, regardless of how young or old your children are, we want to help you find answers. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Rebecca, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, Rebecca. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. I have a 9-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old daughter, and something that they're really struggling with is they'll get into an argument in a room away from me, and then I come there when they're fighting, and I get two sides to a story, and I have a really hard time figuring out which one is right and how to handle the situation, and it just stresses me out.
Yep, I got you. Okay.
Well, you just asked a question that so many parents just turned up the volume for, because this happens mostly in every household.
Yeah,
we do have a really good skill for you.
Yeah, in fact, we even have a section in Parenting Your Kids with Grace that specifically addresses this particular thing. But here's the short version.
And I want to tell you, we used it in our house. Our kids were amazed by it, and it really does work. So.
Yeah, we actually did this. There was one time when we did this, and our older son came and actually thanked us afterward. What kid thanks you, a parent, for?
Yeah, we were pretty blown away.
So this works, all right? Here's the key to that. It doesn't matter what happened. Doesn't matter what story they're telling. It's all noise. It's completely irrelevant, and you don't need to figure out who did what to who. What you need to do is say, okay, guys, clearly you can agree that whatever happened was bad, and neither of you like it. What did you need to do differently to make this work better? Now, if they can't tell you right there, you can send them to timeout separately.
Very separate spaces, so they can't see each other and make nasty eyes at each other.
But this is not timeout like the norm, like usually you think timeout. Okay, this is not you just send them away and then magically the good behavior fairy whaps them upside the head and they come out better kids magically somehow. This is you put them in separate spaces with the assignment. You can't come out until you can tell me what you needed to do differently to make that situation work better. And then you leave them there for their 5 minutes or whatever. And you come back after 5 minutes. Okay, can you tell me what you did, what you could do to have made that situation work better? And they go, well, I'm not interested in what they had to say. I'll be back in 5 minutes. In the meantime, you think a little bit more about what you personally could have done better to make this situation work better. Now, you're probably going to have to coach your 5-year-old in this more than your 9-year-old, right? But either way, you want to see that they're putting some real effort into thinking this out.
And I want to say you're not, when you go to check on them, or you ask them the first time, you're not approaching them with anger. You know, what did you do? What should you have done differently? It's what
your teacher.
What could you have done to make it even a little bit better, so they get to start the thinking and the conversation with an eye toward now, you know, when you think of that, we're going to be able to apply it at other times where you guys disagree, so you don't have to disagree so much and we can all be happier. So take the time and think of what it could have been. And if they can even come up with one or two little tiny things, then in your very calm, even nurturing voice, you're going to talk them through, well, do you think you could have done something in this way or in that way? Prompting them with questions. So they get to start doing the problem solving.
But the goal is to have the demeanor of a teacher, not a scold, okay? Yes. So you coach them both. You get to the place where you see that they've made some effort here, and even if you have to coach them the rest of the way, that's fine. Then they're ready to come out of the timeout. But you bring them back together. Next step is they need to be willing to apologize to each other for not saying, look, I'm sorry that I didn't. You know, whatever, right? I'm sorry that I was mean to you. I'm sorry that I frustrated you. Whatever, help them figure out the language for that. Next time something like this happens, I promise I will do whatever it is that you would coach
them through.
What
you've worked out with them. And that is, please, if you don't hear that part, this will not work. It's not, say you're sorry. I'm sorry. And you're done. I've seen that fall apart and blow up in parents' faces over and over and over again.
Sorry is not a magic word. It's process.
It's I'm sorry that I did X, Y, and Z. Next time, I'm really going to try to do this instead. And the other person has to own up to what they did wrong. Because even in, you know, fights between adults, you have a disagreement. There's two sides to this. not only one person decompensates and falls apart, if the other person's in their like perfect self, it's going to go better because they're going to be able to lead that person out of it. It has to be that both of them have done something to offend the other in some way.
Yeah, and it's not your job to figure out who did what to who or who's telling the right story. It's your job to help them both take responsibility for their own actions and coach them to figuring out what they could do differently to affect a more positive result the next time. When you do this, instead of inadvertently shaming them for what they did, you're empowering them and teaching them what to do next time so they can be more effective and everybody in the house can live in more peace.
Well, and I'm going to tell you this, Rebecca, you are going to feel such peace doing this. I mean, yes, they'll still aggravate you with their fighting because they're children and you've got a lot of teaching to do over the next few years. But you're going to be freed from having to be omniscient, magical mom who can tell exactly what went wrong and who's telling the truth. And they're both telling their own truth. Nobody's trying to lie. But you can be there to say, I'm not omniscient, magical mom. I'm their teacher. And we can learn this process together by figuring out step by step what could have been done better and how to apply it in the future. And that takes all that weight
now
off of your heart and mind.
If you didn't get all that, it's okay. Like I said, we have it spelled out step by step in Parenting Your Kids with Grace and Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace. You can pick up either of those or both of those at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. I'm also going to recommend to you and all of our other listeners, join the Facebook discussion group that we have called Catholic Home. That's Catholic H-O-M, stands for Households on Mission. One of the things we talk about there is something we call discipleship discipline, which is all about not just correcting kids, but really teaching them how to handle these situations more effectively in the future, how to see misbehavior not as being bad, but as struggling, and how you as a parent can be that coach and mentor that helps your kids find more effective and godly ways to respond to the challenges in their life. That's on Facebook at Catholic H-O-M, stands for Households on Mission, where we'd love to have your voice there with the other thousands of parents that have joined the group. Rebecca, thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here again on More to Life. And we are talking with you today about dealing with parenting issues. If you are struggling in any way in your parenting relationship with your kids, let's talk it out and find faithful answers today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue after the break.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living. Effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I told him about the woman who came to me and said her two children had spoken to each other for 2 years. Their grandma died and she was very wealthy. She left half to each one. She said they're arguing over a commode. She said it's inlaid. Can you imagine being in hell and somebody saying to you, what are you here for?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Do you wish you could have discussions about difficult topics with your adult children? If so, don't worry. You're not alone. Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak. And our new book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, can help you draw closer to your adult children and help guide them on the path to more faithful and meaningful lives.
You can get our latest book and all of our other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today our show is titled, God Help Me, These Kids Are Driving Me Crazy. Whether your kids are 2 or 22 or 202, the reality is parenting can be stressful. We want to help you deal more effectively with the challenges that you are experiencing in your parenting life, or you know, as a in that parent role, as a grandparent, as an uncle, an aunt, whoever it is. We want to help you deal with the kids in your life more effectively. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Megan, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska.
Hey, Megan, listening on KVSS. What's up?
So I, similar to Rebecca, I have 4 girls who are all 18 months apart, and I believe I know I need to do the stress cycle thing and get more engaged instead of retreating, but what can I do to help them learn to build each other up and not constantly compete with each other?
Nice. I like that. Okay, so let me ask you, you said they're 18 months apart, but how old are they?
The oldest just turned 10. And they have a little baby brother, too, but they just adore him. So
okay, so you've like between 8 and 10, somewhere in there, and then they have the baby. You have the baby as well.
Yeah, the ages are, the girls are ages between 5 and 10.
Okay.
Okay, all right, thank you. So a couple of things here. One, I think, you know, going back to the principle we laid out in the beginning, you know, the kids aren't misbehaving, they're struggling. What are the kids struggling with here? You know, and you told our screener, they're kind of struggling because they're wanting to get your attention, and they're tearing each other down to do it. You know, so that tearing each other down or competing is what's called emerging behavior. It sucks you in, but it's sucking you in unhealthy ways.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as anybody who hasn't heard that term before hears merging behavior, they go, well, it's not making me want to merge with them, but it's still drawing you in because you have to pay attention.
Right. So it pulls the parent in, and so that gives us a clue into what they're struggling with. They're struggling to find healthy ways to engage with each other and mom, right? So you want to make that explicit first, and you want to be able to say, you know what? I know that you guys really want time with me, and you want more of my attention. But the way you're doing it is just making me want to run away from home. And I don't want to feel like that with you guys. So what can we do together to be a team to really to draw closer to? Let's come up with ways, you know, that we can spend positive time together, or that when you are feeling lonely or, you know, outside of it, that we can get that time. Now, getting that time doesn't necessarily mean going to a carnival.
Yeah, right? It doesn't mean stopping your whole work day because you're a very busy mom to just suddenly say, okay, well, now we'll go to a park. Now we'll play with, you know, dolls for 5 hours. You can't do that, but there are ways to merge with them and still run your life.
Right, and so that's going to mean creating rituals for working and playing and talking and praying together, those 4 categories, working, playing, talking, praying. And so working rituals, for example, all right, one thing that we do, right, so we'll fold laundry as a family. But it's not just about getting the laundry done. It's about having an excuse to be in the same room and talk to each other while we do it. Or we always...
I remember a few months ago I said to our 15-year-old, thank you for always having such a good attitude about folding this laundry. And she's like, oh, no, it's cool. I get to, like, just talk to you without having any distractions. It was really a nice feedback and an honest one, and that's really why it worked.
Same thing. We'll make a point of cleaning up the dishes together after dinner. But again, it's not about getting the dishes done. It's about spending time talking with each other. And so, you know, the whole point of those working rituals is not getting the job done. That's incidental. The job has to get done. So let's use it to bond, right? And connect. Same thing is for the other rituals. We're playing together, finding what are ways that we can get some time to do something fun together, whether that's reading with each other or taking a walk or playing a game that we all like. You know, how can we schedule that in? You know, talking with each other. I mean, you can meld that with just about any of the other rituals. We're talking about conversations that don't just naturally come up. We're talking about, you know, how is God showing up in your life? How can we do a better job taking care of each other as a family? That kind of stuff, right? But you know, let's make some time to make sure that we're getting time to talk with each other, even for a few minutes every day. And you know, praying together, obviously, incredibly important. But then, you know, besides that, you're having this conversation with the girls and you're saying, look, you know, I really want to get time with you, but the way you're trying to get time with me is eating each other and driving me away. So let's specifically talk about ways that we can connect. And then in addition to these rituals, when you're feeling lonely or you need a little extra attention from me,
let's talk about ways you can get it. For example, you can come to me and say, hey, Mom, I'm having a hard time today. Or, hey, Mom, could I have a hug? Or, hey, Mom, I... So you're giving them positive, healthy ways to merge with you so they don't have to just figure out unhealthy ways to suck you in by creating drama in the family.
The one last thing I'm going to add is that they all do need a little bit of time with you. And one of our guests who's on every other Friday is a mom named Rachel Watkins who has 11 kids. And one of the tips that she's given in the past is that she sits down with all 11 of her kids and puts on their family calendar which kid, now of course you'll bring your baby with you too, but which kid gets to do things like go to the supermarket with mom or take a walk with mom or has 15 minutes alone with mom while the others watch a movie. And they put it on the calendar in red so that everybody can see that they're going to have just some downtime with mom to hang out. If they're being prioritized, they may have to wait a day or two or a week, but it's there. And that's not aside from all these other things you're doing. It's just a special added, hey, you really will have my full attention as best as possible with a baby around for that time.
But I do think that the key to this is really mentally reframing what spending time with our kids actually looks like. Because
we all
have convinced ourselves that we spend time with our kids once all the work is done. But then the work is never done, right? So let's be families, Catholic families, who are working together and doing the stuff that needs to be done to take care of our house as a family team and using that time to talk and bond with each other. And you'd be surprised. The kids will not balk about those chores if they're doing them alongside of you and you're really focusing on the relationship more than the chore. Now, we walk you through this whole process because there's more to it than we can get into on the air. We talk about this in Parenting Your Kids with Grace and Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace. Check it out at CatholicCounselors.com as a follow-up to this. But, Megan, this will get you started. Thanks for the call. And we'll be back with more of your questions about parenting when More to Life continues after the break.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I often go back to my childhood. In church, we love to be reverent. To Christ present in the Eucharist, to Christ on the cross. But I was also impressed by the reverence of my friends in the Salvation Army. They had a little band, and I used to walk past the band on Sunday morning on my way to church, and I was just a child, but I said, you know, they're trying to pray to God. They're showing reverence to God. All this was reverence. Now what do I see? I hear one irreverence after another. And week after week, month after month, the media churns out things that make fun of religion in general and make fun of Christianity in particular, and particularly make fun of the Catholic Church. No class. Absolutely no class.
EWTN. Live Truth. Live Catholic.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
You know, maybe we need to ask ourselves, do we really know Jesus? Maybe another way to ask that would be, how familiar are you with the Gospels? When I was living in D.C., I was on the plane taking a late flight home, sitting next to a young girl. She was probably 16, 17. I had my collar on, and we got talking, and she said, somehow in the course of the conversation, she acknowledged that she was running away from home and was in the midst of an awful lot of difficulties that were going on. Her story seemed to be remarkably akin to the story of the prodigal son, which we just heard this past Sunday at Mass, huh? And so I started to speak a little bit about that with her. And I said, you sound a little bit like the younger son in the story of the prodigal son. And she looked at me like I was from Mars. And I said, are you not familiar with the story of the prodigal son? And she says, no, never heard it. And I just looked at her and I says, oh my goodness, are you in for a wonderful evening?
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. This is Dr. Greg Popcheck. In a recent study, psychologists studied a virtue long held dear by the Catholic faith, humility. Humility isn't about negative feelings toward yourself. Rather, the study found that humility is comprised of traits such as sincerity, honesty, and thoughtfulness. But a second group of traits revealed something more about humility, that humble people are curious, bright, logical, and aware. Humble people spend time learning from other people. And isn't that what the Church has been teaching all along? That we require community to humbly arrive at holiness.
Pride is an obsession with defining one's own path to fulfillment, hoarding one's gifts, and refusing to be open to learning from the experience of others. Humility, then, is the awareness that abundance can only be pursued by cooperating with others, sharing what one has with others, and learning from the experience of others. For more about developing healthy, virtuous habits that benefit your family and community, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back. We're so glad to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
And I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled, God Help Me, These Kids Are Driving Me Crazy. If parenting struggles are getting you down, or grandparenting struggles, or aunting and uncling struggles are getting you down, we are here to help you find the answers you're looking for. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Pat, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Oklahoma on Oklahoma Catholic Radio.
Hey, Pat, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today?
Thank you. Basically, with the grandchildren, there's three of them. The oldest girl is...
Can I ask you to speak up just a little bit because we don't have the best connection? Try it again.
Okay. I might be in a... Not a very
there you go.
You're
no, you're good now. Go for it.
Okay. Yeah, the oldest girl is 6. Then there's a boy, 4. And then another boy, 18 months. And it seems like when I call, and I'm sure it happens when other people call the parents, the children are just constantly interrupting. You know, it's like they can't even... you know, it ends up that the parents are yelling at the kids to get out of the room so that they can talk. And it's pretty frustrating. And I'm just trying to figure out a better way. They do it with us, but not as much if they're staying with us. So I'm trying to figure out the best way to, handle that frustration.
Okay. So let's go back to the principle that we stated, that we're kind of stating throughout the show. My kids aren't misbehaving. They're struggling. What are the kids struggling with? Well, they're struggling at being acknowledged, right? So somebody is visiting, right? They're coming to the house through the phone, right? As far as the kids
and
are concerned.
And not only that, but I can't even really see their face.
But it's grandma, right? And or whoever, right? And they want to be acknowledged, right? They want to be acknowledged both by the parent and by the person who's being called. And so what ends up happening? You know, you chase them out of the room, and they just think, well, clearly, my parent and this visitor did not get that I wanted to be acknowledged. So I now need to be more obnoxious. And then you yell at them more and chase them out of the room. And it becomes this vicious stress cycle that we were talking about earlier on. So how do we help that child meet that need of being acknowledged? Put them on the phone for a second. Hey, how you doing? What's going on? This happens in sessions sometimes. Okay, so I do telecounseling.
Right, you do telecom counseling.
And so, I'll be caught talking, doing marriage counseling with a couple or family counseling. All of a sudden, the kid bursts in the room, right? And the parents are all freaked out because, this is a session. It's supposed to be very serious and very... Just put the kid on the phone for a second, or let him talk. Hi, how you doing? I'm Dr. Greg. Who are you? what are you up to? Like 3 minutes max, and they're happy. They're done. They're bored with you. They go away. Right? But if you make it this big thing about, oh, you got to get out of here. All they want to do is come back. So, again, it's not that they're misbehaving. They're struggling to meet that need to be acknowledged, meet that need in a positive, proactive way, and they'll leave you alone.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Pat, if you were going over to your child's house to visit, you'd all sit around the kitchen or the family room or wherever it is, and the kids would be climbing all over you and hanging out and telling you all about their day or showing you their latest drawing or whatever it is. And it would be a family visit. It would be very rare for, grandmama to come over and say, the children go off to the nursery while the parents and the adults all have a formal dinner. Gone are those days. And we have to treat any form of communication we have, telephone, Zoom, whatever we're doing. And frankly, if you can do Zoom, this will all start going a lot better for you because they'll be able to see you and connect. And so those moments of interruption will be a lot less. But it's the idea of course, I'm suddenly walking in metaphorically into someone else's house. I need to be open to all the members of their family. And I think that if you're constantly making even your adult kids feel like, oh, well, I call to talk to you and the kids are interrupting and that's rude. It's also elevating the parental emotional temperature. And so they might be trying to swoosh the kids away more, yelling at them, as you said, to try to prove to you that they care about your feelings.
So now you got two stress cycles going on.
Then you've got two stress cycles. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Now, here's the one last bonus tip, okay, Pat? So let's say you do what we're suggesting first, and do this first, okay? But then after a couple of times of acknowledging the kids and saying, you know, just how you doing, what's going on, putting, letting them go on the phone, before you leave, you say, hey, I love talking to you. I always love whenever you get on the phone and talk with me whenever I call, or get on Zoom whenever I call. But next time, could you do me the favor and just say, excuse me, Mom, could I talk to Grandma? Excuse me, Dad, could I talk to Grandma? Can you try that with me? Just say it. Excuse me, Mom, that's great. Because you know what? That's going to let everybody know that you want to turn, and that will let you in so that we don't, you know, feel like you're interrupting or being obnoxious, okay?
And that, of course, will work better with the 6-year-old than the 4-year-old, but you can do it, and the 18-month-old we're waiting on, because 18-month-olds come first.
But it's all about giving the child the way to meet the need in a positive and healthy way, and that's what discipleship discipline is about, okay? You're still correcting the child. You're not enabling them. You're not just coddling them. You're teaching them how to meet their needs in healthy, appropriate ways, because what happens if we don't? Well, then they're left to figure it out for themselves. And what happens when we leave kids to figure stuff out for themselves? They get it wrong.
Yeah, because they don't know.
Because they're dumb. They don't know stuff.
Skills. And nobody, like, kids have children are dumb. What we mean is they have no life experience or skills. It is our job to teach children how to navigate the world safely, respectfully, in a healthy, holy way.
You know, back in the day, they used to teach good behavior in school, and it was a subject called deportment.
Yes.
And you would get a grade in deportment. And that's, even that's sort of an old-fashioned way to talk about it. The point is, we've lost the idea that good behavior is a subject that needs to be taught,
even
like spelling or math or English or anything else,
yeah,
right?
We're not saying go tell the school to put deportment in the curriculum. We're saying
you need
homeschool this, teach this, but teach it lovingly, teach it in a way that brings them in, doesn't push them away, doesn't make them feel less than because they don't know how to do this yet. And remember, these are your grandbabies. You do not. I want you to come to grandmothering with the idea of when these kids are grown and telling their children, my great-grands, about Grandma Pat, what do I want them to be saying? I know for my future grandchildren, I don't want them growing up and telling my great-grandchildren, oh, Granny Lisa, She was a stickler for manners to the point where she was a
always chasing
nasty
us out of the
person,
room.
Didn't want to be with us, only wanted to talk to our parents. Now, I'm not saying that's what you're doing, Pat, but young ones get impressions very quickly. So if you're saying, no, before we talk, let's bring in the kids, or make a special date to call those grandchildren one day a week and not talk to their parents. And I just want to see everything you've drawn this week, 4-year-old. Tell me what you've learned this week, 6-year-old. Come to the phone and let the 18-month-old babble. Or as I said, if you can do Zoom so they can actually, you know, see you and have that experience, that's going to pay off. But build that relationship with them and then do that gentle discipleship on how to behave on the phone.
And we talk more about discipleship discipline strategies in Parenting Your Kids with Grace and Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace, both of which are available at CatholicCounselors.com if you want more tips like this. And again, please feel free to join the Facebook group at Catholic HOM, stands for Households on Mission, Catholic HOM on Facebook. It's a group that really talks all about the kinds of things we're discussing on today's program, and also how to experience parenting as a spiritual exercise that allows us to encounter God more meaningfully in our households and experience the faith as the source of the warmth in our homes. 877-573-7825, our topic today, God help me, these kids are driving me crazy. How do we deal with the frustrations that parenting brings up, but in a more graceful way? Let's talk about being effective, graceful, peaceful parents. 877-573-7825.
And again, remembering parents at any age, at any stage, because darn, we're always parents.
As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Psalm 103, verse 13.
As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him.
You know, I think that sometimes we forget that our job as parents is to be compassionate. We know that our job is to set limits. We know that our job is to set rules. We know that our job is to enforce discipline. Those are all good things. But at the foundation of all of that, to be effective, we have to be compassionate, as the Lord is compassionate with us.
Well, and let's remember how the Lord's compassionate with us. He doesn't just come by and say, oh, poor baby, and leave us in our mess. But he does. So much so that he became incarnate, became one of us. He does enter into our experience of pain or worry or confusion or even doubt in him. And he comes alongside of us, shows us compassion, opens our hearts to relationship with him, and then teaches us a better way. And that's what discipleship parenting is all about.
So Psalm 103:13, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. 877-573-7825. We're back with more about your parenting questions when More to Life continues right after the break.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 40 years of experience. 17,000 current students, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right, pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton, some of our children. Tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. That is SetonHome.org.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
There's a difference between a talk show and a news show. Like, this is a talk show. We have talk shows on Ave Maria and EWTN. So talk show hosts are allowed to and encouraged, actually, to give their opinion, always looking at everything through the lens of Scripture and the teachings of the Catholic Church. And we are, in terms of what we do, we are expected that those opinions will reflect, maybe a deeper understanding, provide you with other examples of how to apply that teaching to your life. That's what we do here at EWTN and Ave Maria Radio, and we make no bones about the fact that we are pro-life, we are Catholic, we are here to uphold the teachings of the Church. So you're not going to hear us proclaiming anything that would be errant teaching or against what the Church gives us, especially on the core issue of life.
Catholic Connection, Teresa Tomeo, weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
We're so glad to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. And today on More to Life, our show is titled, God Help Me, These Kids Are Driving Me Crazy, as we talk about parenting struggles at every age and stage. 877-573-7825. That number again is 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Lisa, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, Lisa. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hello. Well, I am calling for my niece who's at work. She's got two little ones. One is just turned six. The other one's 3 1/2, both girls. The little one, Finley, she just has to have her way. And if she, if things don't go exactly the way she thinks they should, it is all out crying, throwing herself on the floor, screaming.
Okay.
And this will go on.
And what do you guys do about that?
What you do? Well, you know, it's tries to reason with her. That doesn't work. There's no reasoning with her at all. You walk away.
Yeah, well, because she's three.
Her madder. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. She gets madder if you walk away.
Yeah.
And she'll actually go do something to get your attention. She'll knock something on the floor. She'll hit her sister or,
yeah.
You know, but it's just. It could be something as simple as...
Here's the one thing that's not happening that she absolutely... Okay, so again, my kid isn't misbehaving. They're struggling. So what is a three-year-old struggling with? Every person on the planet struggles with self-regulation, that ability to calm themselves down when they've gotten worked up. But infants and toddlers, and she's just out of that toddler stage. I know three seems old, but it's not, developmentally speaking. So she's a big emotional brain, right? We all have the thinking brain, we have an emotional brain, and we have a body brain that controls bodily functions. So, but when your average three-year-old is all body brain and feeling brain, and very little thinking brain, right? So trying to reason with a three-year-old is never, ever, ever going to work.
And I want to be very clear for all those who are saying, well, in the old days, no, not in the old days, we always had a sense of developmental brain capability. So, for example, there are certain things you only teach to certain ages. The church herself, in her wisdom, says children are not capable of sin before the age of reason, 7 years old, because even in the church's wisdom from way back, where, you know, psychology wasn't the thing, they understood developmental brain function and who could do what.
So, but walking away doesn't work either, because that's not going to help her self-regulate, right?
In fact, it says to her, nobody's going to help me control myself, and now I feel even worse.
So the brain has to develop in order to learn that skill of self-regulation. How do you talk yourself down when you're feeling upset, right? You say, well, Lisa, you know, it's going to be okay. You're going to get through this. You know, you've handled things like this before. You talk yourself through it. Well, a three-year-old barely has enough language to, you know, communicate basic wants and needs. They don't have sophisticated self-talk to calm themselves down.
Which is also why you see this major escalation, because she knows she feels off. She doesn't have the words or the life experience to be able to sit down and convey it to you in a conversational way. The frustration builds, and she uses the only bodily capability she has to say, I'm frustrated, I'm scared, I don't know what to do, somebody help me.
The only way you can teach a three-year-old or younger to self-regulate is by letting your body reset their body. Now think about
it. So if you're caring for her, then yes, this means you, Lisa, as her aunt. But parents, even better.
Well, but this applies to even us adults. Okay, let's see. If we're feeling worked up and somebody gives us a really good hug, what happens? At some point, we kind of go, and we kind of let it out. Well, what does that mean? What that means is they have airdropped, if you will, their emotional state into our body. Our heart rate has synced up with them. Our respiration has synced up with them. Our body temperature has synced up. And now we are calmer because that person downloaded their emotional, physiological state into our body. And we were able to go, right? Well, that's the only way we can teach a three-year-old's brain or younger to self-regulate, is to bring them close to us and airdrop our emotion, our calmer emotions, into their little body. You hold them, you kind of rub their back, you stroke their head, and you say things like, it's really hard when things don't work out the way we want them to, isn't it? And you know what? That might sound insipid, but you have no idea what a powerful impact that's going to have on a little kid, because they feel like you get them. Oh, yeah, it is hard. Oh, and they understand it's hard. And then she just sort of melts into your body and goes, and then you say, well, what else would you like to do now? You know, and you're just able to redirect her that way. We actually talk a lot about this in this Parenting Your Kids with Grace, in this Birth to 10. And also, and then comes baby, which is the first, which is really a zeroing in on the first 3 years. But this whole process of downloading, you know, of teaching her brain to regulate herself by bringing her close to you and letting your body teach her body, or her parents' body to teach her body to calm down. As you do this, okay, just by simple classical conditioning, the brain eventually learns to do this for itself. So she will eventually learn that whole process, because by downloading your calm state into her little body, you're teaching her brain to do that for herself by linking those things together. But unless there's a grown-up around who's really helping the little ones do that, they won't develop it very well on their own.
Now, one thing I want to make sure I add to this is that It's important for the caregiver of a three-year-old, number one, never to leave a three-year-old alone in a room because it's dangerous. You don't know what they're going to get into, but it's also emotionally dangerous in that things can escalate very quickly because you're not there to catch the earlier signs that this child is getting frustrated. So number one, have the caregiver be in the room with the child. If you have to go change over the laundry, bring the three-year-old with you. And just keep a peripheral vision on how are they doing with that coloring page. What does their face look like? Are they getting tense? If you see that, that's a good time to step in and just say, hey, you look like you might need a hug, and then do what Greg was talking about. But if for some reason this is not caught till she's in a full-blown tantruming meltdown, do not fall into the pattern of, well, you go away till you're calm and then I'll hug you. It's fine to draw this child in and say, or before you even do that, sit down next to them and just be next to them and say, I really see you're struggling right now. Give them a little while to calm down. It's okay to sort of pull them onto your lap in a way that keeps you safe. You want to make sure they're not like banging their head back into you. Saying, I get that you're really not feeling right now. I'm going to hold you till you start to feel better. I'm here for you. And gently, but firmly, let them feel that hug start to happen. It'll take a few moments to connect because they're so emotionally elevated. But it's worth doing. But try to catch it on those earlier signs first.
One last point on this, just for all listeners. Lisa, you didn't specifically ask this, but just timeouts are useless for children who have not learned any basic self-regulation. So generally speaking, kids under five, you should never do a timeout with them. It doesn't work. They have no idea why they're there. They learn nothing from it. It's useless.
And again, follow the rule of the Holy Mother Church. They're not really capable of starting to talk themselves through this in a timeout situation
until at least seven. Yeah. So, but I mean, they can still benefit a little bit, you know, five-ish, six-ish. But again, unless they've learned that basic skill of self-regulation by doing what we're talking about, you're putting good effort after bad by putting them in timeout. All right. Thanks for the call. We do talk more about all of this in Parenting Your Kids with Grace and Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace. You can pick it up at CatholicCounselors.com.
Let's talk now with Vera, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Bakersfield, California.
Hi, Vera. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Good morning. Yes. Well, I'm struggling right now because I just acquired my soon-to-be 17-year-old granddaughter.
Mm-hmm. And you say just acquired. How long has she been living with you?
Right now, only a week. Her mother was taken to jail. Her grandmother, they got into a big fiasco.
Okay, so I'm seeing on my board here there are real addiction problems here?
Yes,
with
both
the parents.
Both her parents.
Okay.
And they're not together. They've never been together.
So, okay, so both parents are addicted. There was a big falderal, and mom's actually in jail, and you are now caregiver of 1 week. How can we help you?
Yes, well, I've raised my granddaughter all the time since she was born, taking her to church. She's made all her sacraments this year, confirmation. Very good. She wanted to be a nun, has been studying to be a nun. We've been looking at different which one she would like to go to, whether Dominican or, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and then her mother, I met with the mother, and the mother last week, I met with her, went to go see her, and told her I needed paperwork giving her to me temporarily. I don't want to have any problems. Mm-hmm. So, and then the mother throws at her, says, did she tell you? And I said, what? That she has a girlfriend? And it just blew me away. I didn't blow up. I said, oh, okay. I've not heard this, but I will speak to her about it. And I looked at her and I said, we'll talk about it later, dear. Now, I've not discussed it with her yet because we've not been alone. And I know she's just real confused and she's just looking for somebody to love her the way she deserves to be loved.
Good for you.
Although
yeah.
She knows that Jesus loves her immensely. She knows that.
So, now, Vera, I got to jump in because there's only 60 seconds before they start playing us out. And there's a lot here, and I'm sorry I couldn't give you more time. Here's what I want you to focus on, though, and this goes for any listener who's in a similar situation. When teenagers especially are struggling with issues of sexuality, whatever that is, okay, whether that's pornography, whether that's this, whether that's the gender dysphoria stuff, that's the smoke from the fire. The fire is always I'm there's some wound here that is making me feel uncomfortable in my body, that is making me feel uncomfortable with my gender, that is making me afraid of the opposite sex, that is causing me to be really confused about who I am and how I relate to other people. If you and you're doing a good job by just taking kind of contemplating this all in your heart, right, and taking it to prayer, but the key here is really helping her work with a faithful professional who can really help her deal with the wounds, the trauma that she's had being raised by crazy parents. Now, you've been a constant and a stable influence in her life, and thank you for being there for her, but that doesn't mean she hasn't been traumatized by the fact that her mom and her dad are both addicted, you know, that her mom is a terrible model of what it means to be a woman, and her dad is a terrible example of what a man is, and I can't blame her for being afraid of being in a relationship with
having
that.
A lot of woundedness.
So there's a lot of wounds there. The sexuality issue is the smoke that goes with the fire. When you talk to her about it, don't make the sexuality the primary issue. Make it all about what's going on. Why are you hurting now? What are you struggling with? Let's work through it together, and let's find a good, faithful person to talk to about all of this. And then I'm going to encourage you to either reach out locally or contact us through CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for the call, Vera. God bless.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.